B-Pod Studios.
Noah says it like they do.
What do you mean?
Well, what do you mean?
Felger and Maz.
I'm just making it up. Totally making it up.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Chara pounds it out. Center circle, Achari barrels in, cuts down the slot, looking for a puck. It squirts to the far side with nine. Far circle, Bergeron. He scores! Can you believe that? With 6.7 seconds remaining, Patrice Bergeron gets to a loose puck just inside the far circle and rifles one by Roberto Luongo. Bruins 4, Panthers 3.
All right, it's agenda-free Friday, but you know we're going to get to that early. And the Bruins last night and their streak and all of that. So what an incredible night there at the Garden. Agenda-free Friday. They're driven by the Bernardi Auto Group, where car buying is always agenda-free. Choose from new Acuras, Audis, Hondas, Toyotas, Volvos, and over 500 pre-owned vehicles. Bernardi for now, Bernardi for life, BernardiAutoGroup.com. You know the story. We do opening thoughts as the call screen loads up, and then we go to you as soon as you are ready. We may release the hounds, please, Jimmy, at 617-779-0985. Maz Murray, how are you guys?
Good, you?
Okay, enough of the pleasantries. That's all we need for the day. We've established how we are today. They're good. I'm good. You're good. Please don't ask us how we are. Murray, do you care to go first, going off that play-by-play?
Yeah, because, look, I think for most of the night, I think me and everybody else watching that game last night felt like, all right, you know, the point streak had to end at some point while Jones was at home probably cackling watching that thing. Like, it doesn't even matter anyway. But, of course, they come back, they win it in the most ridiculous fashion, and all again, it's all aboard the bees train. But in watching it, in the way that they won it, it reminded me of something. A result that I remember from last summer. And it was a result that left me with an undeniable feeling of this really might be their year. And in fact, rather than me yammering on more about it, let me actually, because I wasn't alone in this apparently, let me read from an emailer, Michael M., who says, last night's Bruins win versus Red Sox win in Atlanta. The Bruins are my least favorite team in Boston. Always have been, never truly been a hockey fan. Obviously, with the current play of the Bruins, though, I can't help myself from tuning in. I tuned in last night, and about 5 minutes left in the third, and started watching. And I said, well, it's about time they lost one, right? Nope. And it continues to get freaking ridiculous. Once again, all aboard the beast train. The first comparison I immediately thought of was the Red Sox win in Atlanta, where Brandon Phillips hit the go-ahead home run. And I remember listening to you guys' show that day, and I remember Maz saying,
maybe this is just their year.
Oh!
And Murray, you said, they might actually be bullpen-proof. Is it time to start saying it with the Bruins?
This is their year.
The play of Tuukka last night, meh. But could this team even be Tuukka-proof?
This is their year.
Sincerely, Martell and Chelmsford.
They might actually be bullpen-proof.
If you're a doubter, even if you're like Martell, who emailed in, the Bruins are your least favorite team. What they have going on right now, it's undeniable. And that result last night was as ridiculous and fun of an ending that I've seen to a game since the Red Sox and the Braves game with Brandon Phillips. And it felt
maybe
like
this
that.
Is just their year.
Oh!
Kind of what it feels like with the Bruins.
I do love it. If you're watching on our simulcast where we beam across New England and the country every single day on NBC Sports Boston, Vinny or the folks out there have repurposed this really strange train in India that has people hanging off of it, women squatting on the train tracks, dudes walking in front of the train. We used it for the Seas train, I think last year or something.
Probably a few years ago.
Or just, I'd say India, Pakistan. It's somewhere feels like Middle East. Anyway, we've repurposed that. That's now the Bruins' weird train in India. Very good, Murray. Maz, your opening thoughts.
So just quick, you know what?
Yeah, exactly. It's packed. It's full.
I'll save the Bruins as we're going to get to that later. Because like everybody, I was absolutely floored by that thing last night. But I gave you a little love this morning on the website, Mike.
Oh, wow.
Because you triggered a thought for me.
Okay.
And that is the whole thing about the flight out to the West Coast for the Celtics and whether or not there was some sort of epiphany on the part of the team. And really whether one of the key elements on that trip was the idea that, you know what, we're going to make it clear that Gordon Hayward needs to get the ball more and maybe even run the offense through Gordon Hayward. So you know what? I started playing with some numbers this morning and I said, well, maybe would it, like, how do you quantify Gordon Hayward's ability to make other guys on the floor better? Like assists? What is it? And then the bottom line for me was he just needs to be involved. Hayward needs to be involved. So I made it simple. Shot attempts when he shoots. I don't even care if they go in. But whether or not he's getting the ball and taking shots. So I looked it up. You know what the Celtics' record is this year when Gordon Hayward takes 10 or more shots?
Tell us.
10. 18-6. That's a 750 winning percentage. When he doesn't get 10 shots, they're 22-20. Okay, so they're a 500 team. And since Christmas, and I would say, you know what? Give him a couple of months to sort of get his legs under him. Been a long time since he played. The Celtics, when Gordon Hayward takes 10 shots, since Christmas are 12-1. The rest of the time, they're 9-11. Wow. So, and the one loss, by the way, was the game in which they blew the 28-point lead to the Clippers. So the point is that they had a big lead in that game as well. And I'm starting to buy into this. So never in my wildest dreams would I say that Gordon Hayward's a better basketball player than Kyrie Irving. Not in a million years. But I'm wondering if he's a better team player than Kyrie Irving is and whether those numbers help illustrate it. The offense runs better when it goes through Hayward. It's a true team offense. Like, I don't think there's any question about that, and it's not about him scoring or anything else. It's just about the decision-making and the balance when he's on the floor. I mean, the numbers blew me away this morning when I looked them up.
How do you feel? How do you think the coach feels?
Oh, I think the coach absolutely wants it to go through Hayward.
Remember when we got him a couple weeks ago saying, you know, we wanted the offense to go through. We wanted to spread the ball. He couldn't bring himself to say it. I think he's afraid to piss off Kyrie. But what do you think Brad Stevens wants? I think that's what he wants.
He wants it to go through Hayward. And you know what? I think he's right. Now, the end of the game, you need a shot. And I know Hayward made one the other night. I want the ball in Kyrie's hands there. But in terms of the running of the offense, boy, it sure feels like they're better off doing it through Hayward.
Probably yelling yes, Maz, in his Prius right now.
Or Subaru. We're not sure. All right.
I have two
things I want to get to in the course of the program. One is a story out of Miami related to Robert Kraft and Donald Trump. And maybe the answer to my question, why is Kraft lawyering up to such a degree with high-profile, not just criminal lawyers, but tapped-in Washington, D.C. lawyers? Maybe we got our answer in that story out of Miami. So I definitely want to get to that. And I want to get to NFL stuff because stuff's coming off the board. The league year doesn't even begin. And again, there's been more interesting moves in football. The tampering period hasn't even begun. And there's been more interesting moves in football than baseball has had. And they've already started after 4 months of the offseason. But there was Antonio Brown stuff overnight. Did he go to Buffalo or not? Turns out not. Quarterbacks have moved. Olivia Vernon was traded today out of the Giants to Cleveland. The thing I want to hit on, the rumor that came out yesterday, is that the Patriots tried to trade for Randall Cobb during the year. And I find that to be an interesting guy, a worthy guy for them to go after. Not without his faults. You guys want Randall Cobb?
Sure.
Yeah, if the money's right.
So I'm glad you said it like that. Sure, and yeah.
He's not, been injury prone.
He's not going to be your number one. And he is off of his prime in terms of speed. He can play in the slot, he plays inside, and he's good inside. But you'll watch him, and he's half the speed of Julian Edelman on steroids. He's just so. Let's see Edelman off of him, but he's just not quick. He's just not quick in there. He doesn't feel that way. He didn't feel like he plays fast to me. Maybe it's the surface in Green Bay.
Well, anymore, anyway, right?
Yeah, right. But he's always hurt. He's always freaking hurt. But this is just the kind of guy. Outside of those things, in a lot of respects, he's just the kind of guy they should be looking at. Tough. Goes over the middle, good hands, keeps his mouth shut, versatile. He lines up in the backfield all the time out there, can return punts. Steady, veteran, just the kind of receiver I like. Not perfect, not explosive. In fact, the thing that would bother me the most is his injury, his injury history. I don't even care about frontline speed. Just know that he doesn't have it. And I think that's a worthy guy to go after. So Randall Cobb, they were in on Randall Cobb to trade for him last year, according to Jay Glazer, who's kind of a gold standard reporter, and now he's a free agent. So are you in? That's my opening take. We'll get to the Trump stuff coming up. But to your opening phones here in the first segment, as we like to do here on Agenda Free Friday, Dave and his great landline gets precedent. Go ahead, Dave.
So no DeBrusque, no Pasternak, no Johansson, no problem, right? I mean, they just keep winging along. I wanted to ask you guys this. When Pasternak comes back, I sort of disagree with Cassidy. I would like to see him with Krejci. I really would.
No, Cassidy said that too. Cassidy said I would like to have enough time to see him with Krejci.
Did he? I thought it was the other way around.
Nope,
I thought he said that he was afraid there wasn't going to be enough time before the playoffs and that he just would rather slot him back in with Marchand and Bergeron.
Nope, he said he wants to play him with Krejci, but if there's not enough time, or Pasternak isn't himself, if Pasternak is a little diminished from the injury, then he's going to put him with Bergeron because that's his comfort zone. But if he has the time and Pasternak looks right, he wants to see him with Krejci. And I agree. I think they should. Although you saw a little bit of a problem last night with the quiet one there with Bergeron and Marchand. They had no shots on net through the first two periods. Cast even changed it up there for a time, putting Charlie Coyle up there. So it's certainly not the same, but I just think they're better balanced like that. And you got to reward Krejci. You can't. Hopefully DeBrusque isn't too hurt, but what a waste. With the way Krejci's playing, to play with Solaric and Kuhlman and those kind of guys, it's just a waste of Krejci.
No. Again, to me, that's one of the biggest variables in the team. He deserves a good player next to him. And when he's playing like that, totally would be a waste.
So I'm hoping Pasternak is the guy. Tony in the truck, thoughts on last night. Go ahead, Tony.
Hey, what's going on, fellas? Murray, this is for you. All aboard! Echoing what you guys were saying earlier, this is just that time of year where everything's coming together. They're playing as a team, and something right around when you were saying with the Sox, it's just that. It just might be their year. It's totally the year for the Bruins.
Okay, babe. I hope you're right.
I knew they were going to score last night.
And the previous call, so you just have that feeling about this team.
Yeah, I just think now. To me, it was, they get the penalty, and then it was
a 6-on-4.
Right, exactly. So I just went, they're going to get a goal.
Yeah.
They're going to get a goal. It's going to happen. In fact, not that you care, but my wife was sitting there, and I said, you watch, they're going to score right here. She said, how can you say this? Because she's very anti-pulling the goalie. My wife does not like pulling the goalie.
Well, we can do a lot.
Yeah, really.
I'm such an idiot. I didn't even realize I was saying that.
Yeah, nope.
So I looked at it. I said, no, you watch. They're going to score because this is the way it's going for them right now. No sooner do the words come out of my mouth than a second later they put the puck in the net and tie the game. It's just, this is the way it feels for them right now. I don't know if it's going to stay this way or not. I have no idea. I'm not making any predictions about the playoffs. But they have a horseshoe wedged up there so far right now, they're not going to be able to go for a week.
Well,
they're so constipated.
But Dave, the first caller said, no Pasternak, no DeBrusque, no problem. Well, that's not how the game went. They were outplayed. It was not a good night. They didn't play well.
I mean, the last couple of games, really.
Yeah. So they've actually, you wouldn't know it, but they've sort of hit a rut, and which is like fully expected. Sooner or later, they're going to lose, and they're going to have a bad week, and they're going to, and I think it's happened, except they're playing lousy teams. Certainly last night. The Whalers are pretty good this year, the Hurricanes. But it was a bad team, and they just have this winning quality to them that they can pull things out here at the end, and they're sort of clutch and tough. And I thought Cassidy made a great move last night, switching those lines in the middle of the second period. I think that sparked the whole thing. Like, it started with your coach screwing around with the lineup. And so they're pulling it out, but that doesn't mean like they're on this. I think the role has kind of dissipated a little bit. They're just getting the results.
No, I mean, they're coming up big at big spots. And you know, the shorthanded goal that Bergeron scored, the first one, not the second one. If I were a Florida fan, I'd blame the goalie on that one. I'm sorry. I love Bergeron too, but you got to make that stop.
Even the game winner, short side, was it just outside the circle? Like,
yeah.
You generally, even if it was off the post, you generally.
So that one was short side too, now that you mentioned it. I was thinking that one was on the other side, but you're right.
Well, maybe they had the book on him. Maybe that's what they, or Bergeron just knows he could beat him there. Either way, it's a hell of a lot of fun. There's no question about that. That is that team right now in that night, or that third period anyway, was good eating if you're a Bruins fan. Or even if you're not. Back to your calls on Agenda Free Friday after this.
This is Felger and Mass
on 98.5
The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Something?
Come back and put it in my face.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now back to Felger and Mads.
They suck.
On Boston's home for sports.
Bergeron leans in against Barkov. They scramble the face up. The puck floats over to the near side with two. Fired into the Bruins end. Rass down to stop it. And the unbeaten streak is now at 18 straight games. Patrice Bergeron. Insane. What a goal. The Panthers 4-3. They have now won 9 straight on TD Garden Ice.
Never quit. I love that about the guys. They play for one another every night. It's not always perfect, but they're great that way, and they're happy for each other. You don't see that in every team. Trust me. Some guys not happy for others. They want to be the guy, and I think our guys are generally happy for each other's success.
Thought on that Cassidy comment or other follow-up thoughts on the Bruins, Mass?
I think that, you know, it struck me at one point. I'm trying to remember who it was when they showed the bench and someone on the Bruins reached over, put his arm around the other guy's head and like practically jumped on him and they were celebrating. And I thought, man, that's what a real team looks like. That's what it looks like, especially when things are going well. And the Celtics, they can force it. And right now, you know, the first game against Golden State, there was some of that there. But other than that, I mean, I still feel like you either have that or you don't. I don't know that you can fake that sort of thing, and the Bruins have it. They absolutely have it.
And they have a tremendous winning quality and a sort of a little clutch factor going on, which is important in all of it. And, you know, what does it mean? It really doesn't mean much that it's 18 straight versus 15 straight versus 12-1-1. I mean, really, what's the difference? What's the difference? I think what matters is they're establishing an identity and who they are and their strengths and that little clutch winning quality, which is really, really important.
I mean, there was a time not so long ago where they were blowing 2-goal leads with regularity.
That's true.
Now they're doing the opposite. Now they're erasing them with regularity. Like, I just think they are, man, they are fun to watch right now. They are an absolute ball.
Okay, the end of that game is as good as it gets. We continue with your thoughts on this and everything else on Agenda Free Friday. Anthony and Medford, go on the bees.
Hi, Mike. Did I change your mind about this year and last year's about the talent, how good they are?
Meaning what? I don't remember what you said.
Well, you were saying last year's team you thought was better and had more talent. I said the top 9 players on this forwards are better than last year, have more talent. You brought up Riley Nash. I think Charlie Coyle's better. Johansson's better. I mean, their defense is a lot better, and Tuukka's playing dynamite.
Okay, their defense is better. I'll definitely give you that. Carlo's jump, McAvoy's reemergence, their D is better. Absolutely. Has been from day one. The forward group, no, I'm not going to give that to you yet. Charlie Coyle, I like the looks of. 0-0-0 across the board. He still doesn't have a point.
He's like I've come to the conclusion he's a right-handed Rick Nash. Like, you know, he skates better than Nash did at the end. Boy, I can see what you were talking about earlier. He moves well.
He controls the puck.
He's got size.
He's good on the faceoff circle. The puck doesn't go in the net when he's on the ice. Or it hasn't. Who knows? I can't predict the future.
But even historically, look at his numbers. He doesn't produce points.
It's not a point, but it hasn't been. And it hasn't been since he's gotten here. I don't know why we would quibble. What do you care whether they're more or less talented than last year? I mean, is that really important? The question is, can they beat the teams in front of them in the playoffs? Last year, they couldn't. Let's see if this year they can. Maz's opening take was the offense running through Gordon Hayward and how this is occurring to him and maybe occurring to them, and that was one of the resets maybe the Celtics sort of emphasized heading out west. Luke in Vermont on that take. Go ahead, Luke.
This is the most excited I've been about the Celtics in a long time. The last year in Utah, Gordon Hayward was the fourth-ranked forward in the league behind LeBron, Kawhi, and KD. That tells you where he was and what he was capable of. Those guys are probably top 5 players. Not that he was that, but he was producing at that level. The plan was always to run everything through Hayward and let Kyrie be the finisher. That if Gordon Hayward can be 80% of what everybody thought he could be, or what Brad Stevens thought he could be, the Celtics are a real contender. Okay. I want to see them go back to the original starting lineup.
So, Luke, just let me tell you, the key issue there is not – all those ifs you said aren't the key issue. The key if is, can Kyrie Irving accept that?
Right, can he buy into that?
Because, well, that's it. That to me, that's it. Can Kyrie – I mean, he's the point guard, but if the offense runs through Gordon Hayward, will Kyrie Irving accept it? That's my question.
Yeah, it's a good question. My answer is probably not. I think his ego is too big. So now if he's smart, you know, he will sacrifice part of it and say it's for the greater good. And you know what? They'll need me at the end of the game and we'll get our wins. That way it'll be good. But it means he's going to have to be less of a factor in the short term.
Two questions here on an agenda-free Friday. Cam and Taunton on the Red Sox. Go.
Maz, I got a question for you. Just looking at this Red Sox farm system, I mean, every preseason ranking has them in the bottom three of the league. I've seen a couple of them dead last.
Yep.
At this farm. And when they traded for Steele, we said, this is great, but hey, it's 3 years. This is year three. The Bills are coming due. And watching that Tigers team last year in person at Comerica in September, I thought to myself, is this what we're looking at? Are we looking at something this barren, this bad coming after this year? I mean, it worked here because Dombrowski won here. He didn't there. But is this what's coming?
Yep. Yeah, look, again, what do you want me to tell you? I'm sorry. I'm not going to paint a rosy picture for you, but this is what it is. This was the trade-off you made. And they didn't draft, and they did catch a couple of bad breaks. I keep forgetting the kid's name, the kid they signed from Venezuela who passed away. That was a highly regarded catching prospect. That was bad luck. I mean, I'm not going to pin that one on him. But I think that, you know, they're starting to hype up their minor league system. Dombrowski said at the winter meetings last year, we got guys coming. They're going to be at Double-A this year. Let's see. It has to happen. Because otherwise, they have no choice but to sign all the guys they have because they don't have any other options.
At least there was the payoff.
Yes, absolutely.
I mean, so that, you know, whether you think they should go young and build for the long haul or win now, and you can take either approach. If you're going to opt to win now, you better win. Because the worst case is Detroit, where they load up, go all in, and don't end up with anything at the end of the day. So now you have no championships and no system. At least they're going to have the hardware to look at when they rebuild.
Yes, and look, to me, it just amplifies the fact that they got to try to sign these guys and they don't have a lot of leverage to do it because that's the only way to keep this thing together for longer than another year.
Here's a question for Jimmy Stewart. Dave in the car. Go ahead, Dave.
Hey, Jimmy, the WrestleMania is Super Bowl of WWE. However, it's in early April on a Sunday night at an outdoor stadium in New York. I'm just wondering if it's raining and it's 40 degrees, do they postpone it? What do they do? It's an outdoor event. Thanks.
They will shoot something into the sky that will clear everything out and you'll have comfortable, but you'll have no rain or snow, but it might be a little chilly, about 30 degrees.
So it's called seeding the clouds. They can actually do this.
That was the plan in place a few years ago when they had WrestleMania in New York.
Really, seriously, they have the guns and all that shoots that crap up into the clouds. They will seed the clouds. Are you
kidding?
As far
as I know.
Are you kidding?
No, I'm dead serious.
Is this InfoWars? What the hell just happened?
I know. I thought he was bull. I thought he was throwing bull crap out there. I'm like, here we go.
Nope. It's called seeding the clouds. Ski resorts can do it to create snow. And I thought.
Yeah. We have to make sure that the wrestling event gets off. The globalists can't win. What are we doing here? This happened. Did this just happen?
I'm answering a question.
Yeah, I don't get it. What do you so up? What do you? I don't get the
planes.
Google it. If you let me finish, I think you can seed the clouds to create snow, and you can seed the clouds to dissipate. I think the Salt Lake Airport does something to seed the clouds so they don't have massive delays because of all the snow out there. Something like this.
Uh-huh. Yeah. What else? We can make people taller.
You don't believe me?
Not at all.
Why would I just make that up?
I don't know.
Google it. Seeding the clouds.
I'm doing it right now.
And because I
just think a lava tarp would stop, you know, the madness if we ended up having volcanoes erupt around here or something like that. I don't believe this for a second.
Maybe someone's onto something with the larva tarp. As you mock me for it. But there's all sorts of crap we can do. That's one of them.
Seed the clouds.
Yeah.
Here it is. Cloud seeding. Thank you. A type of modification that aims to change the amount or type of precipitation that falls from clouds by dispersing substances into the air that serve as cloud condensation or ice nuclei.
Okay, so you don't even have to keep going on. It's real. What surprises me is that it's for WrestleMania, but why wouldn't they?
Right. Why don't we stop the snowstorms?
Yeah.
Gum up the traffic.
No. You can't do that. You can't play. Well, doing it for a ski.
You could. People choose not to.
A ski slope, an airport, WrestleMania. Those are things worth screwing around with.
Thank you.
your commute is just going to have to be your commute. We can't play God every day. But on specific occasions, you can play a little bit of God.
Super Bowl.
Like, I don't get why we don't do it for the World Series and things like this. If we can seed the clouds for effing WrestleMania, why can't we do it for the interminable World Series that takes 2 weeks?
In fact, I think we should seed the clouds to rain out the World Series.
That's a great one.
I'd rather go the other way if you want to know the truth.
Okay, why is Robert Kraft lawyered up to the degree in which he's lawyered up for his freaking misdemeanor? Did we get our answer this morning? That story, right after Murray's update.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Boys and girls, I'm here today to present an exciting opportunity for togetherness.
Felger and Mass.
That's awesome.
Of course it is.
That's great.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
There are people down there in that area, I'm told, who say that this story is going to heat up and get a lot worse. And I don't mean involving Robert Kraft. I'm talking about with all the human trafficking that has gone on down there. I'm also told that Robert Kraft is not the biggest name involved down there in South Florida, and we'll see what police turn up in the report.
So the story in the Miami Herald this morning, Shefty vindicated? Maybe, maybe not. Just a way to get into this story. Miami Herald, voluminous story, long report, interesting. Headline reads, Trump cheered Kraft's team to Super Bowl victory with founder of spa where he was busted. Basically, long story short, they're reporting on a picture of Trump with the owner of the original Orchids of Asia Day Spa, the original founder of that spa that at the time was called the Tokyo Day Spa. And there's a string of spas down there in Florida called the Tokyo Day Spas. Also filthy, also crime ridden, also brothels. Okay. Same thing. At some point, this lady sold the Tokyo Day Spa to someone else. They renamed it the Orchids of Asia Day Spa, but it's basically the same facility. The original owner was photographed with Trump at the Super Bowl party watching Kraft's team. And that's how this is unfortunately being reported, that she just got a picture with Trump. She was in the picture with Trump. She was at the viewing party with Trump. That was sort of the beginning and the end of it. If you read the story, it is far from the beginning or the end of it. No, no. It's not just a picture that she snapped at a Super Bowl viewing party with the president. This lady is in Trump's circle. Now, not inner circle.
But she's got access.
But she has access, and she is in probably that vast, sketchy outer orbit that exists in politics and certainly feels like exists with Trump. So, and she has access. It's not just a picture. She has, over the last couple of years, been all over the place. Several parties at Mar-a-Lago, several big Republican fundraisers and parties. She's gone to D.C. several times where she's visited the White House. For example, her name, I'll just give it to you, is Li Yang. Okay.
And she goes by Cindy, I think, right?
Li Yang, Cindy Yang. So we'll just go Cindy Yang. In February of 2018, Yang was invited by the White House to participate in an event hosted by the Asian American and Pacific Islander Initiative, an advisory commission Trump established by executive order the year before. Later in the year, she attended at least two more AAPI events in D.C., according to her Facebook page. She has, again, been all over the place at Mar-a-Lago and other Florida political events where she has been pictured with and promotes her, you know, sort of meeting with guys like Rick Scott, the former governor, who's now the senator down there, the governor DeSantis, all of Trump's kids, all of Trump's hangers on. She's like in the orbit. That's how I would put it. And it's sort of weird, as the story points out, before the 2016 general election, Yang offered no evidence of political engagement. She hadn't voted in 10 years. But, and records show that, records show she hadn't voted in 10 years. But she has now become a fixture at Republican political events up and down the East Coast. Her Facebook page is covered in photos of herself standing with President Trump, his two sons, Eric Donald Jr., Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, Senator Rick Scott, Sarah Palin, the president's campaign manager, and an assortment of other high-level Republican operators. She has met at charity events, political fundraisers, and galas, many of which require hefty donations to attend. She has donated, but not really hefty amounts. Yang has shown, considerable political largesse. Since 2017, she and her close relatives have contributed more than $42,000 to Trump Victory, a political action committee, and more than $16,000 to the president's campaign. I don't consider that heavy-hitting
donations. Me neither.
Donations. The thing that fascinates me the most is just to get, even if it was one pitcher, which it's not, you know, she's an associate of Trump and the Trump people and in the orbit. Inner orbit, no. Outer orbit, yes. But even if it was one pitcher, to get to where she was, first of all, it was at Trump's private club in West Palm. So I think the one that's out on Southern out there, and that's where he has like an annual Super Bowl viewing party. So to get into that thing, take something. But to even get close to Trump, so the story points out, it's not clear exactly what level of scrutiny she was subject to in order to get that close to Trump, even for just that one pitcher. According to a January report by the Government Accountability Office, anyone expected to be within close proximity to the president for a planned purpose at Mar-a-Lago, which it wasn't Mar-a-Lago, but it was another one of his clubs, must go through an enhanced background check by Secret Service and other federal agencies. So you're not even allowed to get near the guy unless you go through a check or, as I assume must happen from time to time, Trump just says, she's good, let her in. So, and I, you know, I mean, that last part is just a supposition by me, but
you have to think, even if it's not him, at any president, at any, you know, at any point in history, they had to have been at some point like, ah, they're good.
Well, but I mean, even if his, even at his private club, there's, you can't just rub elbows with the guy, is what that says. So I asked the question, I've been asking the question, why is Kraft bringing in attorneys that have served in White Houses, that have worked on Supreme Court nominee teams? Like, the criminal lawyers, I sort of get. It's still a little much, the Goldberger guy and the dude that represents Jay-Z and Aaron Hernandez. Like, it feels a little much, but those are criminal lawyers. He's in a criminal case, and so... But the heavy-hitting D.C. lawyer, who's partners with one of those other guys, you know, who served in the George Bush White House and worked with Kavanaugh on his Supreme Court case, his Supreme Court confirmation hearings, that's the guy you bring in? So I think to me that answers it. That if this thing could, and I bet you now will, spill into other avenues.
Spider.
So it's just going to, I mean, given our insane, stupid political climate, our insanely dumb, ridiculous political climate, where we investigate presidents and chant lock her up and all that's all the time and money we waste on these stupid investigations of these people's personal lives, our insanely dumb political climate. Given that, people are going to start looking at this. People are going to start digging into Trump and Cindy Yang and how does he know her? What does he know from her? Well, now we're back into the human trafficking thing because she was an element in the human trafficking. Not that she was, I mean, who knows? Who knows? She was the quote-unquote madam. She was the quote-unquote person who owned these places and managed this activity. So, and Trump is, she's related to Trump in some way, shape, or form. And the story just hints at how deep or whatever, but now you know what the Democrats are going to, they're going to start digging into this if they haven't been already. And this is going to be part of the political football. And so it's going to grow. This ain't the end of it. This is the beginning.
Oh no, that's what it feels like, yeah.
And if you know, Robert's involved in it, he's got to protect himself. And so I don't know. So if I were in his spot, maybe I'd hire a big-time political lawyer too, because that's where this is headed.
I mean, really, it is. The story is just striking when you read it. And again, even though she said to me, the part that, you know, that I amplified, even though she sold off some of the spas Yeah, the ones that she owned before were on websites and identified as places that were every bit as dirty.
Oh, no. This is hers were called Tokyo Day Spas. It's the same thing as Orchids of Asia. In fact, the Orchids of Asia, I don't even think I read it. They didn't even change the couch. It's the same place.
No, right. No decor change. Well, okay. Plants. And I shouldn't say no decor. Much of the decor is the same.
So she says she's out of the business, but you know who she sold most of her spas to? Her parents.
Family members, that's right.
Family members and her parents. And her husband still manages and works at the flagship location, the flagship spot to go get a lube job. So she just took her name out of it. And she took her name out of it right around the time, the end of 15 into 16, right around that election cycle.
Interesting timing, huh?
So she took her name out of it. All of a sudden, she sold them to her parents.
And hadn't voted in 10 years.
It had nothing to do with politics. So it's like, it's sort of easy inferences to draw. How did she get drawn into, I was going to say sucked into, how did she get drawn into that orbit? So, I mean, I don't know. I mean, like, you just asked that question reading the story. What do you think Capitol Hill's going to do, given our stupid, ridiculous political climate? So you know that's coming. You know that's coming.
Well, and look, I don't know. I mean, again, you tell me whether I'm connecting dots that shouldn't be connected. Maybe this is why they wanted Robert Kraft in the thing from the beginning.
But who's they?
Prosecutors.
Okay. Florida's a
law enforcement.
Florida's a Republican state. Republican governor. It's, you know.
Yeah, but FBI and Homeland Security were also involved in this, right?
Yeah, okay. Okay.
So there were feds involved in this.
And Trump controls the federal government.
Does he?
No, I mean, I don't know. So
I think there's a pretty good division in the federal government right now, don't you?
So that's that they purposely nabbed Robert to bring it into the spotlight to get to Trump.
Or to at least fire the warning shot.
All I'm saying is, so I don't know what it is. We can come up with a million conspiracies.
Sure.
That's why Kraft has those connected DC lawyers.
I mean,
again, I think.
Well, no, it makes all the sense in the world. Yeah, it's a good deduction. And again, I just say, go back to the type of clientele that was going in there. And I'm not saying all of the clientele, but some of it. You're talking about some pretty high-powered, wealthy people going into an absolute sleaze bag of a place. Like, how do they all hear about it? Why are they going to the same joint?
Well, that's what I found so interesting part of the story, that how well-reviewed that these places were and how well-known they were, because there's like Yelp websites for all these kind of day spots.
So Maz is hinting at these guys telling each other about it. And
oh, well, that too.
But it turns out they don't even need to tell each other about it.
Well, so right.
They don't need to just Google it, rubmaps.com or whatever. It's just insane. So it really was, you know, it was going out in the open pretty much.
Has Adam Schiff, I'm looking through his timeline here, has he tweeted, told you?
I don't know if this qualifies, but it was close enough to play it as a rejoin. But anyway, there's that craft store. You want to weigh in? Talk to you next.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
What can we say about Felger and Maz that you haven't already screamed in your car?
Sit on that one, bitch, and spin.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Rick and Woburn, yeah, Robert Kraft. Go ahead, Rick.
Hey, what's up? I'm talking about, Kraft. He's actually, he's a rock and roller.
Hey, did you happen to hear the most annoying callers in the world?
Yeah, how you doing?
We're fine. You're fine. No pleasantries.
And if you did, were they whining? Whining.
Why don't we talk about the Bruins and Celtics? It's winter. It's March. Why do we talk about the owner going to get a massage?
They set him up. They pulled him over. They knew Kraft was in there. They set up the cameras. Those cameras might not be legit, first of all, so now he's a victim.
Chris in the car on last night's Celtics game. Go ahead, Chris.
Hi, guys. How are you? How you doing? Can you hear me okay?
No pleasantries.
Hey, how you guys doing today?
We're great.
I know, you just said don't do that. Sorry. Kraft didn't hire all these people to get himself out of a misdemeanor. I could do that myself, and I'm not a lawyer. I'm a garbage man.
Yeah, hi. I want to talk about this quarterback, the kid there at the combine, and what you guys are talking about is heightening, and it's wrong. There's nothing wrong being 5'8 or 5'9. That's heightening. That's wrong.
All-time worst day for calls, I think.
Yeah, it's out there.
What's in the freaking water today?
You guys are heightists. Are you heightening?
I think what people should do, actually, instead of giving us a greeting that we don't want before they start, they should apologize to us and then go. You think I'm joking. I'm serious.
Thanks, Samari, for putting that together. That was yesterday. Rough day on the phones yesterday.
Oh, boy, was it ever.
Back your phones. Agenda-free Friday. Everything's on the board. NFL free agency, Bruins, Celtics, the Trump story, whatever you want. Here's Hank and Worcester on the Celts and Brad Stevens. Go, Hank.
Maz, I'm sorry. Michael.
Gotcha, Hank. Go.
All right. Michael, Maz was talking. His opening statement was about how it's going to bleed right into my hot take. This is a beautiful hot take. I can't believe nobody has figured this out yet. Stevens morphed right into Belichick before our very eyes. It was unbelievable. I was like, oh, this is great. When he was asked that question from whoever it was about Kyrie, he wanted absolutely nothing to do with that question. There was the pause. There was the glare, the stare. And then he was like, I don't know. We're going to have to talk to the training staff, which basically I put through the processor. And it was, we're not talking about the guys that I'm playing.
Okay, I'm going to stop you, Hank. I wonder about that. And again, we played this yesterday. It was very unusual in the post game in Sacramento, a full 24 hours after the game in Golden State where Kyrie allegedly tweaked something. It was a very odd exchange, just asking for a general update. And basketball and hockey, they're not like football. They'll tell you the injury and the timeline and whatnot. It's not like, you know, Fort Foxborough. It's different, except he did sound Belichickian and talking.
What is the outlook for Kyrie just as you move in the next couple of days?
I don't know. I haven't talked to him about it. I haven't talked to the trainers about it.
Seems like a day-to-day type of thing now.
Yeah.
Okay, like spat it out. So again, just sort of workshopping this. I just wonder if they sort of reset on the way out to Golden State, and that is it. The ball is not always going to go through Kyrie. It's going to go through Gordon Hayward, too. I'm going to reemphasize Gordon Hayward. And maybe I'm going to stop kissing this guy's ass so much. And if you're there, you're there. If you're not, you're not. And I don't know, something like that.
Yeah, look, again, to me, if they've empowered the coach, the question is whether or not Kyrie buys in. Like, and so I like it in principle, too. I mean, who doesn't? If it costs you the player, is it worth it?
Maybe.
Yeah, I'm not convinced.
I'm not convinced Kyrie is worth all the stuff you're doing for him. I mean, Kyrie and Anthony Davis might be. I mean, I know. I understand.
Yeah, you might be right.
You win with those guys. But I need to see Kyrie lead this team to true championship contention and really have that really translate before I buy in like you've bought in.
See, to me, all he needs to do is be part of it.
But right, exactly.
And then when they need him,
when I say lead him, no, that's be a member of a team and an important member of a team that contends for a championship.
Yeah, like a real leader is there when you need him. That's when he's there.
Phil, the rest
of the time, he lets everyone else be who they have to be.
Let's grab Phil and Malden on the Bruins. Hi, Phil.
Hi. Thanks again, guys. The Bruins have got a great role going on for the last month and a half. And I'm all on the bandwagon, but I got a thing for Murray.
Yes?
Murray, if you want to make some money on the NCAA tournament, whatever Barkley picks, pick the opposite.
Yeah, he's not the strongest NCAA analyst. On the Bruins, just remember, they did the exact same thing last year. And if you really want to play it out, they kind of did the same thing when Cassie took over in the second half the year before that. Now, I'm not going to tell you that they choked either year in the playoffs, because that first year when Cassie took over, that was found money and they weren't ready, and they were all banged up that year as well. Last year, they ran into a really good team, a team that was better than them. I'm just saying that they've had strong Februaries and Marches the last couple of years. So this is great. It's fun. It's just they've been here before.
Yeah, to me, we're going to know what they are when we see them get to the second round of the playoffs, if they get that far.
Oh, of course.
But like, that's when, and you know what? That doesn't mean they even have to beat Tampa, at least not in my eyes, Murray. I look at it and I say, no, you got to give Tampa a run. Give them a run.
Right. But just real quick, I think the difference, at least for me, eyeball test alone, the goaltending's been better between both of them. And I don't know, the, everything you read about it, too, with anyone that's actually around the team and in the locker room afterwards, like the closeness, like I haven't seen anything like this since 2011 or 2013, really, and that's what it reminds me of.
Justin in the truck, quickly on the Trump connection.
I just don't understand why Trump would get close to this woman who was heavily involved in human trafficking, and for that matter, I don't know why Bob Kraft would get close to them either. I mean, I understand they're visiting these spas.
You don't have any guess, Justin, you don't have any guess why Trump and Kraft would be close with her?
No, what I'm saying is, why would you let her into your inner circle if you're visiting these parlors and doing these things that are obviously extremely illegal and it's human trafficking, and that's what I'm talking about. Like,
right.
Why would you get close? You know what I mean? Like, why would you want to be seen with that person? Like,
why would you be so reckless? Why would you be so reckless to allow individuals like this into your circle, never mind in broad daylight, go into their places of quote-unquote business? So, yes, if that's your point, I would tend to agree.
Yeah, I don't get that one either. I mean, again, you know, to me, if this thing is just opening, holy crap.
Well, like, I mean, you know what's going to happen in D.C. They're going to.
Sure.
This is the next thing they're going to look at.
Well, and it probably already is.
Probably so.
I mean, you know, I wonder if the fact that this thing came out isn't an indication of that.
Maybe. How did they even know in the first place?
Exactly.
So now you're going to be pouring through all these pictures of. I mean, Kraft is at Mar-a-Lago constantly. This lady's at Mar-a-Lago and Trump's places all the time. So I'm sure people are now going through picture after picture of who was where with what and blah, 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 blah. So, right. Probably just beginning. We're probably picking it up in the middle of the thing. You're probably right. No commercials here, just an update from Murray, and then we're right back.
This is Felger and Mass
on 98.5,
the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.